Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast, a show where we're going to chat about all things summer camp, from games, spiritual activities, to scheduling, staffing, and more. Brought to you by Bryant, Connor, and Jackson, along with other staff, volunteers, and campers of Chioka here in Calhoun, Louisiana.
Hey guys, this is the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. It's Jackson here, still here with Bryant. And we have John Luke joining us again, our executive director. Today we're kind of talking about sort of our hiring system, like a do's and don'ts of counselors, like what makes somebody a good staff member out here, specifically at Chioka, and like just kind of what makes you a good staff member at a Christian camp in general, from all of John Luke's knowledge from school and being a director for 2 years really now and an executive director for a year. And this is kind of your first year doing hiring.
Right.
And getting to participate in that, and like, so you get to have so much new experience and like maybe mistakes you got to learn from and stuff. And do you want to talk a little bit about our hiring system and how Chioka specifically does things? Me and Bryant haven't really had to go through it as much as some people because we were, when you came in, we already knew you personally, right? And we already
resume,
we had worked here, counseled or camped here and all that. So we don't know too much about it, but do you want to talk about what the hiring system looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I had been a part of camp's hiring process, just observing the past 2 years. And so this year was my first year actually running it. I think that, so a little bit about kind of how, or the thing we're looking for mostly, and this is any director across the board, is any director, there's a quote by his name's blanking, the guy who wrote Good to Great. What was that guy's name?
Oh, is this the dude that wrote
The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People?
And the also the is it Dale Carnegie?
No, not Dale Carnegie. Okay. Anyways, I can't remember. But
school information, right? Is this Liberty College Education
this
stuff?
This is just a book I read. Oh, okay. But something he said was, your first step is to get all the right people on the bus. Your second step is to put the people on the bus in the right seats. And so when we're hiring, what I'm looking for is a diverse group of people who I feel like are going to fit the specific roles that I have in mind. So I'm looking for like a good balance of really hype, energetic people mixed with calm, like reliable people mixed with, and since we're like a Christian youth camp, you know, I'm looking for like a diversity of, and not all camps do this, some camps who are super Baptist or super Pentecostal or come from a specific denomination are looking for a very Baptist, very specific
people that fit
the mold. Background. Yeah. Right. Since we're more of a non-denominational, we have kids coming from a lot of different backgrounds. I'm looking for like people who come from a lot of different church backgrounds, from traditional, charismatic, and so I'm trying to kind of like fill these things. I'm also looking for.
And going back to that, is that sort of why you emphasize, like, we got a lot of emails from you before camp started this year, of things to be planning, looking forward to, information about the schedules and all that, and also you put that emphasis on like that kind of aspect of mere Christianity, and like our focus like spiritually needs to be kind of on like what, like Jesus and the gospel, and like that kind of centered. Is that sort of where that stems from? Is your like diversity?
Yes.
And kind of reining it in a little bit?
Yeah. Like I would say I personally, I don't view like camp, even though we're a Christian camp, we're not a church. And I don't think that a camp should be like a church in that aspect. Like a camp should be the mere Christianity. And I think I talked about this in the last podcast too that I was on. A Christian youth camp should be just mere the gospel. Jesus Christ came down, was baptized, saved for our sins.
Only Jesus, no isms.
Only Jesus, no isms. It's one of our 10 camp commandments.
Yeah, be a decent camper.
Yeah. And so, but in the, like the application of that, if all 40 of our staff members came from the same church, well, that's not gonna like play out in real life. That's only gonna play out. We're only going to, like, the campers are only gonna experience and hear the basic essentials of Christianity when you have staff members who disagree on things, and so they stick to the core things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? You know, like this year we had people from highly charismatic, non-denominational churches, Pentecost churches, Baptist, Catholic.
Church of Christ.
And so, like, a lot of our staff had different views on a lot of different concepts of Christianity. So I feel like that helped everyone, like,
I think that,
stick to the basics.
I think that grows people in different areas. Yeah. And it makes us more, like, just better rounded as a staff to be people who are able to do this well, mm-hmm. because they grew up in a church who really practices that, mm-hmm. and a church who does something else well because, mm-hmm. the same thing.
Yeah.
And it teaches you just to, like, love each other as brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, through those differences, I think, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Realizing it's okay, like, you may think someone's wrong, but, like, also realizing that you're probably wrong. Like, there's no, like, no yeah. one has it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And so realizing, like, grace and that and stuff like that, it was really yeah. cool.
And I think that helps in, like, a cabin. And, like, if you're teaching a Bible lesson and you're about to teach something about Jesus to kids, and you look at your two co-counselors, and you, like, you may be a traditional Church of Christ and you have all those beliefs, well, your co-counselor, one's from a Catholic background and one's from a Pentecostal background, like, you're going to be highly aware of what you're saying, because you know, like,
they might disagree.
They might disagree. So you're all trying to be, you know, you're all trying to find middle ground among yourselves as co-counselors. So what you present to the kids is going to be the bare essentials, mm-hmm. of Jesus and Christianity. So,
And I will say, for the most part, I found that, like, as far as those basics and, like, how to live and look like Christ in your day-to-day walk,
mm-hmm.
for us this summer, at least, was pretty universal across the board.
Right.
Like, yeah. everyone was in good agreement on, like, what it looks like
yeah.
to live life for Jesus and be in pursuit. Like, I think mm-hmm. everyone was on board with, we're all trying to pursue Jesus, and, mm-hmm. like, that's what matters, and, like, mm-hmm. living that out was kind of similar. Like, we all were pretty good.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of to get back. So, looking for a lot of different things in, like, that diversity, how the application, before we get too far into the why, what the application actually looks like is, especially for new staff, for last year and going to next year, you'll fill out an application online, you'll send out your references. So for me, like, as a director, I would get the application from someone applying. I would read it, and then I would immediately go and try to contact the references. So I wouldn't set up an interview until I spoke with all of their references. So filling application, once all their references came back, I would set up an interview with them, and after the interview, I would discuss with the other directors, and then they would get an email or a phone call saying, they would get a phone call saying yes, or an email saying no. So, saying no was one of the hardest things of
yeah.
the spring job. And especially because we got a lot of, I got a lot of really, really good people, and I'll talk about this later, but I'm sure this will come up, a lot of really, really good people who, but I just didn't have the space. You know, like, I would have two people who I would look at and be like, both of these people, 5-star, could hire them, no doubt, but I only have space for one of them. And so, you know, sometimes I would have to tell someone no, but also say, please, you know, try again next year. And that was kind of like, that was kind of the balance in hiring too, of like, you may have someone who's really good, but who already kind of fits the, like, a specific thing that we need. And then if two people are fitting the same thing, I would have to outweigh, like, okay, do they, like, can this work that both of them kind of fit the same mold? Or, like, I don't really think this would work. I don't really need two people here, so I'm just going to have to pick one. You know, and that was kind of a balance. So, yeah, I think that they fill out application, get their interviews. And I think, like, in saying this too, the number one, I guess that's the hiring, like, system. is filling out the application, getting their reviews back, setting up the interview.
And do you think that, like, that, like, reference part, like, I don't know, for me, I think of it, like, I feel like I would probably put a lot of weight in that, but I also don't do this and haven't seen what works and what doesn't work when it comes to hiring. So, like, what do you think has been, like, the most important, like, what do you think has been, like, something that you really can rely on as, like, useful information for the hiring part?
Oh, 100% references. Like, that's mostly, and that is a big part of what, like, I'm looking for. And I would say a reference isn't like a, a reference isn't a make, but it's definitely a break. Like, I could look at a reference and be like, someone may have, like, if I get a reference back and every box on there is checked excellent, like, but then what they write in their little box says, like, they were a great employee, I would be like, okay, this person didn't really think a lot about it. But I may get a reference back with some are good, some are average, you know, some, like, things like that. But then the writing part, the reference really puts a lot of thought into it. And I say, okay, this reference really put a lot of thought in it. I would lean heavier on a reference that I could tell put a lot of thought into what they were writing and really knows the person more than just a reference who just checked all the excellent boxes.
And it's almost giving you, like, an accurate representation of the strengths, right? Like, it's like, hey, they're strong in these areas, because, like, everyone's strong in certain areas and weak in other areas. It's like, no one has an excellent on every box kind of resume.
Yeah.
So when you can actually see what the strengths are and the weaknesses.
Yeah.
Especially going forward, like, with the, like, as we get more specific, as we talked about, like, kind of that changing from the general to specific, seeing the strengths will be even more important, right?
Right. And so saying, like, someone getting, like, an average reference or a reference that I think this doesn't really help me at all in hiring them doesn't make or break, like, okay, I'm going to hire this person because they had better references. But if I get a reference that says this person is divisive or not a great worker or whatever, and I can tell they actually put a lot of thought into it, like, definitely not going to hire them. You know, one question we put on that says, would you feel comfortable with this person babysitting your kids? And, like, if that's a no from a reference, I mean, there's just no way we're going to hire them. And in that case, I would always call the reference and talk to them about it, talk to them about the experience and everything they have. And if sometimes you get a reference who, for whatever reason, just doesn't like somebody, and I can usually tell that, but it's still like, what did this person do? Even if you're being perceived like that, then that's a conversation that has to be had. So yeah, I always call the references if there's anything. I don't always call the references if it's all positive, because I feel like I kind of know what they're going to say. But if anything is negative, 100% I'm going to call the reference.
So yeah. And I kind of thought about, like, so, like, going forward with, like, the hiring process, and, like, obviously this is your first time to, like, run the whole thing. Is there, like, stuff that you want to change? Because I know, like, a lot of summer camps, like, I've talked to, like, other summer camp directors who have seen me for school stuff and at Harding or at ULM. I know I talked to, like, the Kanakuk directors there because I was helping them run a program at ULM.
Yeah.
And they talked to me about that stuff, and I know that they do a lot of, like, on-campus hiring, like going and physically interviewing. Is there, like, stuff like that you want to implement, or, like, is there, like, adding more references or a longer, like, whatever, like, anything like that you thought about changing?
I would think a few questions that I would... So I would say that face-to-face interviews are 100% the best. Like, that's just the gold standard. And if you can... Like, I just don't really have the ability to do that with every single person.
Yeah.
In Kanaka, they, a lot of their, like, they've got, you know, lower levels of organization who can hire somebody. But we don't really have that.
We only have one hiring.
Yes. One person who can hire, which is me. So, and, like, I really don't have that level yet that I can send out and interview and hire. Going into next year, I'm going to try to set up some, like, things on colleges where I can kind of interview them and stuff. But even then, I wouldn't just make a hiring decision based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kanika has to hire, like...
2,500 people.
Yeah, like, over 2,000 people. So, you know, and they also have a lot of people hiring. So, for them, they talk to someone, they're like, oh, you're good, we'll hire you, and then they'll... You know, if you turn out not, they'll send you home. Someone will take their place. And you, this is a good note too. Across the board, and this is something I learned in school, and I've seen every single year here. You will always lose 10% of the people you hire before the summer starts. So, I mean, like, I've seen that every single year. Last 3 years, when we've hired 24 people, we always lost at least.
At least two
every single time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been true.
Yeah, this year, same kind of thing. I came in wanting to hire 40 people, and so I hired 44 and ended up losing 4, like, right before the summer started, and then had one more hire. And so, you know, it's like I had that in mind and I did it and it worked. So I'm always looking, like, to hire over. Same for Kanika. They're hiring probably 200 or 300 people over who they actually want to come, and then they'll come. So it's kind of a different setup too. And that's why I, like, so whenever everyone applied, I didn't actually hire anyone until, like, a few months after, because I was seeing, you know, trying to get as many as I could in as possible. Yeah. Like, I did 2 rounds of hiring. I hired everyone who applied before December, and then I hired again everyone from, like, January and February. So there are 2 rounds of people who found out they were hired or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any more questions?
When it comes to hiring new people and also old counselors, like, what are the pros and cons of bringing in people that have never been to camp, and also the pros and cons of hiring people who've been here for a couple of years?
That's another thing that I'm looking at. I'm trying to get a balance of too.
Mm-hmm.
Is I want a good balance, and I think this year was a really good balance.
Yeah, I think it was
almost even.
I think I knew 20 and or knew 21 before and mm-hmm. didn't know 20.
Yeah,
which I basically know all returning staff.
Yeah,
so, like, that was pretty much a dead split.
Yeah, it's pretty much a dead split. That's kind of what I'm looking for, is, like, a good balance. Because you want the people who've been here, because they, you know, the traditions, the sketch, like, you know how to build this experience, but then you also need new people, not just to, like, one, to open up your existing counselors' minds to mm-hmm. see things from a new perspective, but also for them to fall in love and contribute to camp, you know, down the road.
And kind of bringing in, like, new passion, new life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know me and Brian have talked a lot, when we talked about, like, we've talked before just kind of, like, around and stuff about a pro of all the new staff that we had this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not something we've never experienced this much new staff ever
yeah.
at Shioka.
Mm-hmm.
We've always had a lot of returning staff or people that grew up as campers
mm-hmm.
being the staff. And we talk a lot about one of our counselors, Nathaniel, as being someone that, like, came in and, like, a serious pro mm-hmm. is that he came in and was passionate. And he, like, bought into your, like, what you wanted for camp
yeah.
as our executive director. Like, he bought in from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was just, like, super on, like, he was just on fire for that mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, if he had been here before,
right.
he might have lacked the passion, or he might have, like, the change might have gotten to him or anything mm-hmm. like that.
It was just really cool to see the enthusiasm of a new camper, kind of. Like,
yeah.
Everything was new and everything was great. There wasn't, like, it was just a really good opportunity for him just to dive right in, rather than it's like, I've done this a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the difference between water day on the first day and water day on the 8th week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just a little bit of, no matter how much you try
mm-hmm.
to keep the tempo, there's just a little bit of a difference.
Week 1, we're always gonna slide a little bit more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're definitely gonna make a mud slide and use it.
Mm-hmm.
Week 8, we're probably gonna get a little mad if someone tries to throw mud at you. You know, like, you're kind of over it at that point. Getting on the slide gets a little more difficult. and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of plays into that for sure.
Mm-hmm. That's why this year I especially tried to hire way more new people, because like so many things were changing, and I knew that everyone who had been here before was going to need someone to say, this is really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The positivity
of it. Yeah. And so just saying, oh, this is different, it's bad.
Yeah, different doesn't automatically mean bad, but mm-hmm. different is not a lot of people like change, and so that can be...
Exactly. A lot of people are really opposed to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just naturally as people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, are there any more, like, big pros and cons you can think of as far as that, like, returning staff, new staff thing? And, like, going forward, do you want to do more returning or more new?
I mean, I would say, especially this year, like, best case scenario, all 41 people come back next year, and then we have more staff to handle the new kids that are coming, because we had a really, really good staff this year. And I would say even like the lower level of staff this year who it was just so good that even like kind of I would think like the people who were just kind of like going through it, the motions, were way better than like even the medium of last year.
Yeah.
In the sense, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Almost. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
The average went way, way up.
And this year, really no one did. Everyone was awesome at different points. You know, and I think it was really good to see.
And kind of going forward into the more, like we talked about that, like more specific camp going forward. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to address kind of like the roles you were talking about, like we've talked a little bit about, of like going forward having like more specific roles for counselors, like as we apply and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like getting to see maybe like some people this year, the roles are so general,
mm-hmm.
like their strengths didn't get to shine. But like, yeah. as you put them into those specific roles, maybe they'll have.
Yeah. I don't know. That's definitely a thing. I would say, like, whenever I was hiring, I would kind of, like, rate people on, like, a 5-star system, like, 1-star to 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone I hired was, like, 3 stars or up. But some people who I thought were, like, going to be really good in some areas were just not that good. But they excel in others. And I think that as far as like hiring goes, is that some people that moves into like getting everyone in the right seat. Mm-hmm. And that you have people who can be really, really extremely good at one certain thing. And the trick is just getting them into that one certain
thing.
Finding what that is and then pushing them to that, especially if they don't necessarily want to do that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that, like, as great as everyone was this summer, I think that, like, some weeks we played everyone's strengths, like, perfectly. That everyone, like, super meshed, did really good. I think, like, our second high school week, I think we did that. Like, everyone really, co-counselors were great, the teams were awesome, everyone, like, worked together and had, like, a really good week.
The one week I didn't get to work this summer just went incredibly smooth.
Exactly.
Best week of the summer.
Mm-hmm. We just gelled really well.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, middle school too, when you came back, I felt like that was, we kind of like...
Middle school one.
Middle school one, especially like in the cabins, I felt like we kind of put everyone who works really well together and everyone who doesn't work well together.
Yeah.
And like you saw, like some cabins were just thriving and some cabins were just not, like just falling to pieces.
Just getting caught up on the little stuff.
Yeah, getting caught up on the little stuff. And so that was kind of like, as a director, I was like, okay, probably didn't put people in the right place. But that goes to like you listening and whoever, if you're trying to apply for a summer camp, is to be the type of person who can work well with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was especially true of some people, like, and that was one of like the biggest compliments I felt like I could give to someone, was it's so easy to put you in a cabin or on a team, because you're not affected by anybody else. So, but I mean, there's pros and cons to that. Like, some people, you know.
I think coming in, too, it can be cool to, like, and I just hearing what you said, it would be beneficial for us to come in self-aware of our strengths and weaknesses and communicating those to you openly. Mm-hmm. Right. Saying, like, look, hey, these, like, because it doesn't really hurt, I don't think it hurts your chances of getting hired to say, look, I'm weak in this area, but I am strong here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is there a way I can play to that strength more? Because, like, that is obviously exactly what I'm looking for.
Yeah, exactly. That actually way helps you being hired. Like, I would rather hire someone that I know their strengths and weaknesses, and I know I can put them, and they're happy being put to play on their strengths, than to hire someone who I have no idea and who wants to do something specific who is not really good in that area. Always better for me to know.
It's more beneficial for both parties to be transparent and just honest. I know the way the teams work this year is you might not have worked within your strength, but you worked within your weakness, and that was really beneficial for growth as a staff, and like appreciation of the other jobs, and just like recognizing we don't have it, like, we can't do everything by ourselves, so we need to respect the other people who are on maintenance or who are on programs and going through the effort to make it happen when you're really breaking down, like, camp as a whole.
Yeah, that's really good. And I think that's, like, for me, some people were on the teams.
So we gotta plug the laptop in real quick.
Some people who were on a team or on a cabin did just terrible. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to hire them next year. That just means I'm not going to put them in that spot next year.
Yeah, it's just not their role.
It's just not their role.
And those people definitely, like, there are a lot of people that I know, like, well, like, for example, we've talked about this on this podcast. I would say we've talked about it in at least almost every one, that my role is not maintenance. Like, I just wouldn't be our most effective maintenance guy. And, like, that's a super important role at camp, keeping camp clean and all that stuff. But I'm not good at, like, maintaining my own schedule and, like, just all of that stuff, like, that comes along with maintenance. Like, it's just not where my strengths lie. And I work a lot better in a cabin. So this summer, you know that. You know me. I didn't do maintenance. I was in a cabin almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't know. I think that's a good example of, like, knowing I know that my strengths don't lie there.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that my strengths don't lie there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're able to work that out well to where I can be used best for camp.
Yeah. That's like Noah, who was another counselor we had. Just the opposite. Terrible. Like, not terrible in the cabin, but just hated it. Like, he just didn't.
Yeah, he did not like junior week.
He just, like, the little kids, he just didn't like that. It just wasn't his thing. But he was an amazing musician. He was good at maintenance. He was, like, good on the other teams.
And he was really good at activities like nitty gritty and, like, hosting skit night and putting together skits and stuff.
He has
like
all
that.
Kinds of creative talent.
Yeah. Exactly.
That can be utilized.
Exactly. But those things where I was like, you know, that he just hated or didn't do very well or whatever, it doesn't mean I'm not going to hire him back. It just, I know now his strengths, so I'm going
to
put them
in. Try to emphasize
it. And how much better it would have been if he had been able to communicate that clearly beforehand, like we would have been able to, or you would have been able to.
Exactly.
Or even
implement those things from the start.
To even know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's important to communicate those to you for Chioka and your director in general.
Exactly. Yeah.
For wherever you're going to work.
And that's, like, this year, doing teams the same way and having 20 people who we had no idea who they were, like, I didn't count anything that wasn't grade A excellent this summer. I didn't think of as a failure. I just thought of as, well, next year we're going to put that person here, this person here, and it's going to be way better. So, yeah, it's really good.
So kind of what do you think of as their kind of going back to, like, that hiring and, like, what are some things you really look for when you're hiring someone as a counselor? And what are some things you really, like, they really are, like, a, what's the word? Like, a negative. Like, something that's just, you're like, when you see it, it's an automatic, like, oh, I can't have that.
Mm-hmm. the one thing I think I look for, and I've thought about this a lot preparing for this podcast, is confidence. When I'm hiring, if someone is on the phone confident in who they are, the things they know, and the thing that they want to bring to camp, then, like, definitely going to hire them.
Ooh, that, like, confident in why they want to be a part of camp.
Yeah.
So, I haven't thought about that, but that is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, if someone's confident in that, I feel like I would be.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
If someone confidently said, like, if someone I could tell, you know, just a confident person, and also said, like, I'm here to, like, I want to give these kids the best summer ever, and, like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to, like, make the camper experience amazing. 100% I'm going to hire you. Because even if you get here, and confident people, even if they get here and are disillusioned about their strengths or weaknesses, they can be talked to. Like, if every person I had here who I knew was, like, confident in themselves, if I had a problem, I would go to them and say, hey, this is kind of what you're doing, this is what I want to see, and they say, oh, no problem, thank you for telling me, and they would move on. An insecure person would just, like, break down, and, like, you couldn't have that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that doesn't say I'm not, like, looking for insecurity, but I think on the flip side of confidence, the thing that most definitely, if this comes up, that you may be like this, I'm not going to hire you, is divisiveness. And that was, I mean, that happened this year. There was one person who applied who all of their references said difficult to work with, can be divisive, can split people up, and that to me is just a total non-starter. Because especially in a camp environment, is you're living so closely with people, if you have one person who is negative and divisive, it's gonna spread so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It can turn a week, like a staff, like that one person. So if I have someone who's like that, there's no way I'm gonna let them come in, that even be a possibility.
And I think the first thing I think of is, like, almost synonym, and you said it, is mm-hmm. negativity.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I think of, is, like, just things I've seen in staff throughout the years and stuff mm-hmm. like that, is, like, when one person has a really negative attitude,
mm-hmm.
it can very strongly affect the entire staff's attitude so quick.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, I think of, like, if you're coming as staff to mm-hmm. Chioka or whatever camp you're going to work at,
mm-hmm.
like, pray for, like, a spirit of positivity.
Yeah.
And to, like, see the, I don't even know the phrase, but see the brighter side of all the situations.
Well, through the summer, you get tired. And mm-hmm. it's easy to be negative in a way. Like,
yeah.
it's easy to cling on to things that you're not liking and cling on to, like, the bad things that are happening. And it takes more energy to be positive. And so, mm-hmm. like, it's an active pursuit. Like, mm-hmm. you, like, as a counselor, you have to be just super excited about the good things and
mm-hmm.
super excited about the transitions. Like, when your Devo goes smoothly and your kids are diving
mm-hmm.
in, like, you just got to be, you got to enjoy that while it happens, because sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just blame everything that's going on at camp on the fact that your kids didn't understand the material fully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just have to look for what happened good and emphasize that in the next time.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I would get stupid excited when I could get my, like, 6-year-old cabin to Country Store right on time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like,
that's the biggest accomplishment.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, when you can get your kids, like, the little kids, to an activity of
mm-hmm.
any kind on time, it is, like, the best feeling in the world, because it is so difficult to move them from one area to the next and make sure that you have them all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keeping them, like...
Yeah, you can get on time, but it doesn't matter if you don't have all 12.
Exactly. Yeah, when you have your 22 kids and you get somewhere on time, but you have 19, it doesn't really count.
yeah.
So you have to, like, making sure you have them all and you're in the next spot is, like, oh, like, a little thing that you should just cling to and be like, oh, that was the best part of my day.
mm-hmm. I think, like, from a director's perspective, that's one thing that, like, will get you. If I see someone, especially if I see someone, like, tired and starting to be negative and starting to be divisive, like, that's going to be the first thing that's going to bring you into my office for a conversation. And that conversation is, like, either you need to, like, take a nap, take a break, or you need to go home. Because that's something that you've got to, from my perspective as a director, like, if you, and I need to be aware if you are starting to be that, getting tired, getting negative, and stuff like that.
Something Connor always said, one of the counselors, and he's been on the podcast a lot, he said, was it a bad day for you, or was it a bad day for camp? Like, mm-hmm. kids are still yeah. hearing the gospel, and they're still having mm-hmm. the best time of their summer, or even their, like, year. So you got to separate yourself from, did you have a bad day, or did camp have a bad day? Like, take mm-hmm. yourself out of the situation a little bit.
And you even mentioned that in staff meetings mm-hmm. a lot, of saying, like, I know a lot of us see this, you know, like, mm-hmm. a lot of the people in here see the struggle of, like, some of the conflict we have in the staff mm-hmm. meetings, or, like, the staff room, or, like, mm-hmm. Trying to, like, the rush of figuring certain things out. But, he's mm-hmm. like, but the kids don't see that. Like, the kids yeah. are seeing the great output at the end. Mm-hmm. Like, the thing that came together and was great.
Yeah.
And, like, the impact that it had on them. They don't see the struggle we had putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
So remembering that, like, that's still good. Just yeah. because we struggled getting there.
Right.
It was a positive thing that happened, not a mm-hmm. negative, just because there was a lot of conflict or whatever involved yeah. in it. And I think, like, keeping your mind on that final impact mm-hmm. and focused mm-hmm. on the kids and what the kids see from their perspective is super yeah. important.
I think that's hard for a staff member or a counselor to see sometimes, is separating themselves from, is looking and saying, wow, the kids have had a great time. So I can just put my differences aside here.
Yeah.
And we definitely saw that a lot this summer. The kids having, like, the time of their lives, whereas some staff members had really struggling with it. And that for our camp this summer was very much just because it was a transition year. The goal is to make everyone have a good time doing what mm-hmm. they're, you know, and I think that's what we're moving forward to. And I think that's what next year is going to be a lot better with our organization, making staff and campers both have a good time and doing it. Because I think camp is about having a good time. And
not that we had a...
Not that we had a bad time.
The staff had all kinds of fun throughout the year. It's yeah. just every once in a while you're putting something together and it gets really stressful.
Right.
And you look at that and say, oh, that was a bad thing.
Yeah.
When in fact the thing was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
And then I think about something on the, like, what do I look for? Perspective, and I think it kind of, like, plays into it a little bit, is, like, being able to plug yourself into anything.
Yeah.
Like, filling mm-hmm. all the different roles of, like, because there's a lot of times at camp where, like, something happens and, like, that flexibility, the adaptability, you have to be able to, like, you do have to be able to do things that aren't mm-hmm. necessarily in your strengths.
Right.
And it's just going to happen sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. every once in a while, you are going to be put in a position that doesn't play to your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to thrive in that, to a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it may not be your best moment, but you have to make the best of it.
Yeah.
And that's something I always think of when I think of, like, what has made good staff members to me in the past.
Mm-hmm. That was something that Noah, who we talked about, who didn't really like the little kids, but he always, like, did his absolute best. And, like, I would walk into, like this room or, like, the staff room, and he's just, like, sitting there by himself with his eyes closed. He would just say,
trying to get through it.
Yeah, he would just say, I just couldn't spend another moment with these kids. But when he's with the kids, he's 100%, he's all there. And that's something I told the staff at the beginning, is that taking a break or going home is not a punishment. It's something that everyone has to do every once in a while. And that's why you have to, like, go to bed on time, get your rest, like, be active and don't, you know, the weekends, like, actually get your rest, because those things, when you're not doing those things, that's when you start to see the negative and not the positive.
For sure. Especially the weekend thing. I can speak to that. My first year as a counselor, I did a terrible job of mm-hmm. maintaining myself on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was up until, like, 5 a.m. every day on the yeah. weekend. And then camp rolls around last week.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't slept in 2 months.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, literally, like, rolling out of bed, mm-hmm. no energy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't be a good counselor.
Yeah.
Like, when you're, I don't know, stuff like that. So making sure to stay on top of all that stuff, too, is important.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure people are going to be responsible
mm-hmm.
when you hire, I guess, is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because that is something I've had to grow in for camp over the last 3 years, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping up my responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever, since this is about hiring, we're kind of getting into like being at camp, but these are the questions that I asked everyone who interviewed, who I didn't know. The first question is, when I would get them on the phone, I would say, tell us a little bit about yourself and your family. So kind of what I'm looking for in that question is what, how do they view themselves and what background do they come from? What church they came from? Are their parents, divorced, married, staying together? Are they like, are they dating anyone? What's their major? Stuff like that. And I'm looking for that like background information to see where like I can put them. And cause that's something that's like when I'm looking to put counselors in the cabin, I'm looking at someone's background and saying like they went to church their whole life, strong Christian their entire life. I'm going to match them with someone who may have had a really rough background or whose parents are divorced or some who have gone through something that is like different, and not because it brings a diversity to the cabin where kids can kind of understand both things. So I'm also like, I'm looking for those things specifically, like, and I think that for someone listening to this, just to be totally, totally honest with your director or whoever is hiring you, what your background is, where your things are, because those things are only helpful. Even if it was a really rough background, or even if you like were just completely like living off the rails, but then before you came to Christ, like those are helpful things to know, because to where to place you in the cabin, and those are the things that I'm looking to match.
And I kind of think about, like, I took a negotiations class this year,
mm-hmm.
and like learning about, it's like there's two kinds of negotiations. There's like a win-lose negotiation,
mm-hmm.
And in a win-lose negotiation, you want to withhold all the information that you have,
mm-hmm.
like any information about you or that you know about the other person, you don't want them to know, you know,
mm-hmm.
because whatever you don't win in the right. negotiation, you lose.
Mm-hmm.
But like working at a summer camp obviously is not a win-lose. You don't mm-hmm. want to take.
Right.
You want to, it's a win-win. You want the staff member to have the greatest summer they can have,
mm-hmm.
while also providing camp the best service they can have.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's the goal for both people. Both yeah. people want the same thing.
Right.
So in a win-win, the best way to reach an effective, negotiation point mm-hmm. is to give away all information. Mm-hmm. When both sides know all the information,
mm-hmm.
you can most effectively reach that middle ground. And I think that's yeah. kind of the same way with sharing your strengths and your mm-hmm. background. Mm-hmm. The more information that's on the table, the better you can understand each other
mm-hmm.
and give each other what you want.
Yeah. Good. The second question I ask is, why do you want to be at camp? And this really to me is the most important question of the rest of them. Is because what I'm looking for when I say, why do you want to be at camp? I'm looking for them to talk about the campers and the kids. I'm looking for them to say something to the effect of, like, I want the campers to come to Jesus. I want the campers to have a great time. I want to, something like that. Because then I know that anything that they may disagree with, as long as it's helping the campers, they're going to be on board for it. What I'm not looking for, and what, like, definitely is not necessarily a not going to hire you, but definitely warrants a conversation, is for someone to say, especially, and I heard this a lot with people who, and this happens a lot with if you've gone to camp a long time, is them to say, oh, I love camp, and I really just, like, want to come back and grow, and, you know, be able to grow in my leadership and grow in my, like, whenever someone starts saying, like, my, I want this to help me, I want, you know, I want to come back, that is a red flag to me, because I know, like, that's, when you get to camp, you're only pouring out to these kids. You are getting stuff, and, like, the staff training and things we do, we try to pour into staff, but mostly, you're pouring out. And when your attitude is for me, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to have problems. But when your attitude is for the kids, you're going to make it happen. So, yeah. Do you want to speak into something for that?
No. I just think that's good.
Yeah. And the third one is, what thing can you bring to camp? or what you think you can bring to camp. And this is where I'm looking for, like, your strengths. Now, I usually say what you think you can bring to camp, and here I'm looking for, like, something specific, like energy or stability or music or whatever.
Kind of like a strength.
A strength, yeah. And then I'll usually say, what could potentially be some weak points? And again, like, I'm looking for total honesty here of, well, I've, some things, like, I heard coming in were, like, I have a really strong personality, or sometimes I can be really shy, or, like, this is my first time coming and I'm nervous, or, like, I really just like the younger kids, I don't really do well with high schoolers. There's those things that I'm looking for, so I know where to place you. And all of these things, like, and then the last question I usually end with, I talk a little bit more on those, is if a camper said, what is the gospel? What would be your response? And I'm looking for a confident answer in what the gospel means to them. And, like, some people just have no idea, like, what that is. And that was, like, a few people that applied and that we didn't hire was because of this question, is because they talked about all, like, I've grown up in church my entire life, like, I love Jesus. Like, when I said, why do you want to be at camp? I want to bring kids closer to Jesus. Jesus is my main man. Jesus, 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 Jesus. So on and so on. And then I say, what did Jesus do? And they say, well, he lived and then he died and he's coming back. And I say, well, what does that mean to you? And I say, well, like, he saved me from my sins. And I say, okay, well, like, what does that mean? Like, if a camper said, like, who doesn't know anything, what is sin? Why do I need this? Mm-hmm. And then they have no idea, no verses, no nothing. After they had said, I grew up in church, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I'm like, you don't really know. You are not very deep in your own faith. Like, how are you going to pour into others? So that's also kind of a big one and a non-starter for me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes into like true confidence in themselves, I usually see comes from, like, a confidence in Christ. Hmm. And, like, Jesus.
God confidence rather than self confidence.
Yeah, God confidence rather than self confidence. Exactly.
Talked about that a lot this summer, especially because of Connor.
Connor will not let you say self confidence.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a thing.
Kid asked Connor to pray for him to have more self confidence. Mm-hmm. And Connor said no. And the kid was like, what? And he's like, I will not pray for that. Yeah. He's like, I'll pray for you to be more confident in God, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to pray for your self-confidence. There's no need for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you don't need any self-confidence. He's like, you shouldn't have any. And the kid was like, what? And he's like, all right, we'll talk about this for now. And then he prayed over him later. But he's like, explain to him. He's just like, and it's just funny. Because if you know Connor, Connor, the way Connor would do it and communicates is just very, like, I don't know. He's bold. Connor's one of the most bold communicators.
He's got God confidence.
He's got God confidence for sure. Awesome, awesome dude. Who sadly left us this morning.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, went back home to old Auburn, Alabama.
Found a name tag that said Connor on it in the room and almost cried.
Oh, man, sad day.
Anyways.
Anyway, moving forward, as Connor would say. So what do you think about so I know, like, a lot of our returning staff, and I don't know if this plays into your thought process at all, but, like, do you think about hiring people that have those existing friendships? Or, like, the group, like, I know we had, like, 6 counselors that came from the same youth group, mm-hmm. or 5, or I don't want to count right now,
mm-hmm.
but 5 or 6 counselors from the same youth group in Texas came together, and did you think, like, yeah, I definitely want to hire all of them, or none of them, or were you thinking, maybe I'll hire some and not all? Like, what, like, you know what I mean?
Yes, that definitely plays in. Like, because I knew that group that came of 6, it wasn't, like, best case scenario, I would hire all of them. But I ended up not hiring all of the ones from that youth group who applied.
Oh.
And it kind of came down to, like, really, like, more of, like, a numbers thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
of like you talked about earlier, where you have the candidates, but you can't hire
everyone. But I can't hire everyone. And that was kind of like a, that was an issue because I had to, as a director and a leader, I had to say, like, if I hire this person but not this person, would they still come? Or would they come and be angry?
Yeah.
Or would this person end up being, like, divisive and then...
Did you talk to them about that kind of thing in the interviewing process, just out of curiosity?
I don't really think so. I think I interviewed them all, like, separately and talked about that separately. I didn't really talk about that. But I did talk about... I actually did ask their references that. So a few of them had the same guy, had two references that... All of them kind of had two references connected. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't have the conversation with the reference, that was like, what if I hired this person and not this person? Or how do these two people, like, interact? And I got a lot of information from that. So that is definitely a thing. And we had a large group from Missouri... kind of the same thing was, the question is, if I don't hire somebody, how is it going to affect the morale of,
is it going to bring resentment?
And if it is, should I just hire none of them? Is that going to be worse for camp? You know, it's complicated.
Yeah. And at least with the Missouri group this mm-hmm. year, you have a bunch of people that have been counselors before
mm-hmm.
and you have information on because they've been coming to camp as campers and stuff like that. Right. So that was probably helpful too, I assume.
Yeah.
But
totally, totally helpful. And because they could all, you know, everyone from Missouri could vouch for each other. It turned out they were all great. And so.
And then even like a lot of people from here,
mm-hmm.
you know personally.
Right.
So having to determine whether or not to hire them, I'm sure mm-hmm. is really difficult too.
Yeah.
From that standpoint.
Yeah.
Of just like, I don't know, you know everybody and there's personal connections.
Mm-hmm. The group from Missouri really helped because how many. It's like 7 or 8.
At least, yeah, 7 or 8.
7 or 8. A few of them I did talk about, and I asked different campers different counselors this, like, does this person work well with this person? Or does this person yeah. work well with this? And that was really helpful, them knowing each other and saying, yeah, they don't really get along, or yeah, they're best friends, you know, and that helped. Put people in places in mm-hmm. cabins this summer.
So it didn't even necessarily mean you wouldn't hire them because they didn't right. belong, but in realizing,
mm-hmm.
oh, maybe they shouldn't co-counsel.
Yeah.
Or maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
My view on hiring is that, like, none of the stuff that I said, like, I'm not going to, really the only reason I would not hire somebody, or there's really three reasons I don't think I would hire someone, and that I didn't hire people this, coming into this year. One of them is, four reasons. One of them is, just thought of another one.
Anywhere from 1 to 4
anywhere from 1 to 16 reasons.
Yeah, might as well just yeah. bump it up. Yeah. 1 and 44
reasons. 1 and 45 reasons. Well, one would be, like, divisive. Their references said they're hard to work with. Number two would be they are not mature enough. And we had a few people who were just younger, you know, they're 18 or 19, but just not mature enough, I felt like, to be a counselor. And so, and for those who did, I said, hey, really think you need another year. Third reason would be, wait, what were we just talking about there?
They're not mature enough?
No, they're not mature.
Reasons why you would just not.
No, well, divisiveness, not mature enough.
This question right here, is that one of them? If they can't answer this?
Yeah, if they can't answer this, I mean, but that goes with mature enough. Okay. That goes with mature enough. If they're not available for the whole summer, I mean, availability is a big thing. And numbers. Just, we had already hired our 40 spots, so we couldn't hire someone else. So.
And then kind of one last thing that I've thought about, I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to ask Brian. But I know Bryant wouldn't ask this because he's involved in it. But
I'll say it like that.
I'm just going to try and get a really negative view on you before you actually ask what it is. What are your thoughts on, like, people that are coming into camp in dating relationships
mm-hmm.
and then people that are forming them while they're here, but, like, how to maintain that healthily and, like, what that looks like to be a good counselor but still maintaining those things, and what do you look like? What do you look at for that when hiring?
So, as the director, seeing a couple like dating and always wanting to be with each other and stuff like that, like that is like a huge negative, like, to me. And like if someone is coming in dating, I'm gonna have a conversation with both of them. And Grace and Bryant, y'all had truly, like, everyone had said not gonna be a problem, and it wasn't. Like, it was awesome. Like, what I'm looking for as a director is just to never to know about it. Like, whenever I know about it or I start to notice it, that's when it's like a big problem.
It's almost like you should be like, wait, they're dating?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Leadership should never know you are in a relationship with. They should never notice it. Should never be an obvious.
Notice it affecting your job.
Notice it.
Not you hiding it.
Not you hiding it. Not you hiding it. But they should never, I should never see you that affecting your job.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all did absolutely excellent that you both, like, set great boundaries. You never let it affect your job. Like, no one, from the outside, no one would ever know, but you also did extremely well.
I think that comes from us just wanting to be here to influence kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, just the hunger we had this summer coming in, the excitement wasn't to live together, like, mm-hmm. live in the same, like, location all summer, because we live an hour apart at home, like, being close, but our intent was to reach as many people as we can and just be at camp and encourage others to grow and also to grow individually outside of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we even talked about it a little bit, that, like, a lot of that stems from the confidence you'll have in y'all's relationship and the fact that it's so centered on God.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, making sure that that is something that comes first, and then y'all are so confident in each other, y'all don't have to spend every waking moment together. Y'all can go pour out into the other counselors. And, like, if you like, I even know that both of y'all have really close relationships with other guys and other girls that you pour into those people.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, y'all are, you know what I mean, confident in each other and stuff like mm-hmm. that, which just really shines through.
Yeah.
Just to praise Bryant for a little bit,
mm-hmm.
like we do in every other podcast.
Oh, come on.
gotta brag on him at least once a podcast.
We did have a couple this summer who, at the beginning, they came in as a couple, and I asked both of them, is this going to affect you? And both of them said no. And they came in the summer, and the first, like, month, great. Hardly ever noticed them, you know, being together more than normal. They really impactful everything. Towards the end of the summer, they, like, kind of started hanging out with each other more. They started, like, you started to see them more. It kind of started to affect both their jobs a little bit. And, like, it wasn't bad enough to, like, actually talk to them. But a question in my mind when I was putting them on their teams was, okay, like, I don't want to put them in a situation where they're going to fail. And I felt like for them, some couples, and I think, were you and Grace on a team together?
No.
Okay, well, some couples, you could have been. Like, I felt like I could put them together and they would work, because they know each other, they would work well together. Yeah. Some couples, I would say, if I put them together, it would only be a distraction to yeah. them and everyone around. And that's kind of what this relationship became at the end of the summer. And so I was just conscious of it. It wasn't like they're in trouble, I'm not gonna hire them back. It's just something that I knew, like, I'm not gonna put them together. And I think for anyone who is a couple coming to camp, if you want to be the kind of couple that a director wants to put y'all together, because you're working so well separately that you're gonna work well together. You don't want to be the kind of couple that I have to think and say, well, I've got to split y'all up, you know, because it's definitely not ideal for anybody.
Mm-hmm. I would say coming in, just look for the growth of your campers and then the growth of you by yourself. Like, mm-hmm. your relationship with God, not the relationship you guys have together, or the relationship, like, going to church together is different than you going to church because one person's sick kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you and Grace talked about coming in too? Was making sure that y'all did that, or did y'all not really have to?
We were encouraged by our parents coming as campers 3 years ago. So it's not mm-hmm. it's not just us. We've had good examples pouring into us and mm-hmm. people reminding us. And it can get, you know, even on the weekends, sometimes we just want to hang out together. But it's also like, this is our family for a summer. I want to mm-hmm. be with my family. And then we can grow individually, and that will grow our relationship without us even having to be together, because we're going to be better for each other and closer to God individually at the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that mindset coming in is really good.
Yeah.
Definitely really, like, we all really appreciate the way that you all handle that too.
Yeah. And that, it really can be a problem, the opposite of, like, couples forming can be a big distraction for them and for everyone, but also couples breaking up.
Oh, that's kind of awkward.
Is, yeah, like a terrible thing. And I think, like, kind of what you talked about is setting those good boundaries, being here for the kids. You're not with each other enough to, like, have those kinds of issues, yeah, and problems, you know?
You can't break up when you're not around each other enough.
Exactly.
There's no fights to be had, so you can't.
Yeah.
And then, like, is there anything that you think of as, like, because I know, like, we sort of, in our camp thing, it says that we're not allowed to start a dating relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it says we understand that you may, like, find someone that you, like, want to begin a dating relationship with because these are awesome people out here.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think there's, like, do you have, or Bryant for this matter, because I guess you've been handling it, but, like, boundaries that you would say to set as, like, coming in, like, if that were to happen, like, things that, like, tips you would have to counselors to say, here's how you can still do your job effectively, but also be kind of, you know what I mean, in that mode.
Mm-hmm. I would say, as, like, the director, kind of what I already said, is, like, your leadership should just never know if you are, like, starting to like someone or starting to, like, it should, you should so be focused on your kids that it shouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm. And no extra time.
No extra time, exactly. Stuff like that. And especially, like you're only here for a summer. So if you, as a guy, like, if I see you start liking someone from a completely different state who you, like, you're totally not going to be together, you can definitely see, and I experienced this when I was a counselor, like, it's not going to, like, continue into a true relationship after camp, but I see it starting to, like, form. I'm looking at you like, I don't really know if you, I'm having that same thing in my mind. It's like, I can't put you two together. And that puts an extra burden on me as a leader to split you up, to be conscious of that and things like that. So, like, it just should just not come up, you know?
Mm-hmm. That definitely makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't really know as, like, personally what the boundaries would be, except to just, like,
that shouldn't not be your pursuit.
Happen. Yeah, that shouldn't be your pursuit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Alright.
I think that's pretty much.
That's it.
It's great.
It's a good discussion on hiring. Hope it helped you guys out about understanding, like, why we do things and
what you can do coming in,
yeah,
to, like,
how to be prepared. And
yeah, now you have all the questions. Just start prepping for them. If you're gonna apply to Chioka, just go through this question list, come up with some really good answers. They'll, like, fake it till you make it.
Yep. Because that's not transparent at all.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll see y'all later.